Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about newspapers and TV. I have a letter from Michael Snow in Gayville, South Dakota, who thanks me for the radio program and wants to comment on my remark about newspapers. I said some time ago that we do not subscribe to a newspaper. My husband will pick one up free when we are in airports sometimes. He looks around in the boarding lounge and finds himself a newspaper to read. But that's about the only time that either one of us ever glances at a newspaper. Now, we do listen to about 5 minutes worth of the news, the headlines of the news in the morning on TV, and we read Time magazine, not by any means cover to cover, but we scan Time. So Michael Snow says, the quote from Malcolm Muggeridge that I gave, and I'll have to repeat that. Malcolm Muggeridge said, "Why does anyone read the newspaper? They're all lies." Muggeridge himself was a journalist for many years. And so Michael Snow says, the quote from Malcolm Muggeridge would also apply to Time magazine and television. But I'd hate to see us as Christians abandon our stewardship in areas such as citizenship by abandoning newspapers or magazines. I do not subscribe, but I do diligently check my folks paper. Well, we can't always check our folks paper, can we? I find that to be the best way to keep abreast of what our local and state governments are doing. If more Christians paid attention to that, our state would not have a lottery, legislation on pornography would not have been defeated, etc., etc. And then I love this quotation that he gives me at the end from D. Elton Trueblood. The best way to read a newspaper is standing up so as not to waste time. That is an excellent suggestion. A colossal amount of time can be wasted by reading the newspaper. You read the ads and the personals and all those things, and I confess I can get fascinated with the personals, but I know that I do not have time to do that normally. It is a rare occasion. So if you get a newspaper every day in your home, take Elton Trueblood's advice and read it standing up. Thank you, Michael Snow, for that. And then he enclosed in his letter a little leaflet called Your Child and TV, which I thought was excellent. So I want to share parts of that with you, too. Your Child and TV. He tells us that psychologists say that over 80% of a child's personality is formed by age 5 or 6. Now, think about that when you think of what your children are drinking in through television. 80% of a child's personality is formed by the age of 5 or 6. Now, we parents are responsible for our children's environment. We can't do anything about the genes, but we most certainly can do a great deal about the environment. A big part of the environment in a good many Christian homes is the TV set. How is the furniture arranged in the room where the TV is? Does it all center around the TV? Well, if that's what the room is for, then that makes sense, doesn't it? But if you only have a living room and not an extra room like a family room or a recreation room, if everything is centered around the TV, it's likely to put a damper on conversation, isn't it? A big part of the environment of a child is the TV set. A child cannot reason consistently from cause to effect until age 7 or more. So if you're explaining too many things to your younger child, you're wasting your time. You're spinning your wheels. You can't talk about a TV program with a little child as you can with a teenager, having a real discussion about worldviews and things like that. It is important that you be the one that chooses what your child watches. The searching eyes of children are looking for models. The surrounding world fills up thirsty minds. it would take a parent with a bad case of rigor mortis to not notice how Junior attempts to fill Pop's or Mom's shoes, sometimes literally. Imitation, rather than reason, is the vehicle of learning at this stage. Imitation. It's startling to us sometimes, isn't it, when we realize that a little child is scrutinizing everything we do and then imitating it exactly. I watch this in my grandchildren. I watch how Colleen imitates exactly what Jim says and exactly what Jim does. So to hear people argue that TV programs do not influence people's behavior is balderdash. We all know that it influences not only the behavior of small children, but of adults. If we didn't believe that what people see on TV influences behavior, there would be no commercials, would there? What is Madison Avenue making its money on? Persuasion. Persuasion that comes through that tube. I'm not reading from Michael Snow here. I'm talking from Elizabeth Elliot. Then Michael Snow reminds us that we must remember that original sin exists in that child. The children's values will be deeply rooted by the time they are 10 years old. If not blinded by their own sin, more Christian parents would be aghast at TV's exploitation of this aspect of their child's nature. Our battle against self-centered gratification is intense. And of course, the TV commercials are aimed at self-centered gratification. The child wants every toy that he sees advertised on TV, not to mention the insidious invasion of lifestyles of pleasure, programs which market lifestyles of pleasure. And then another damaging effect to children are the effects on his self-esteem. As Dr. Dobson has pointed out, the emphasis on beauty in our culture erodes self-esteem and heightens an unhealthy self-consciousness. With makeup-manufactured beauty constantly before them on TV, what are children to think of their own average appearance? Let's think of parents' responsibility. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the duty of parents is clearly spelled out. We are to teach our children diligently, as we walk by the way, when we lie down, when we rise, when we sit in the house. Can you possibly teach your children diligently if they're spending too much time or more time watching TV than they are reading scriptures? Are children learning the commands of God and writing them on their hearts when they sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise? Or has most of this time been sacrificed to the family TV set? Check the time spent in worship, Bible reading, prayer, and devotions against the time devoted to TV. Do this each day of a week. How many days does TV dominate? Should it dominate any day? If the scales tip on secular television's side, worldly values impact upon young minds more often than God's Word. This is the most devastating effect of TV, says Michael Snow. We are inviting evil into our homes via the TV set. He says that while watching Little House on the Prairie, his children have sat at rigid attention as the network plugged movies via advertisements, which included a woman being attacked, a shark rapidly closing the gap between itself and a swimmer, and the horrors of, quote, murder in Texas. Letters have been written to TV stations about such commercials during family programs, but managers' responses, which refer to strict adherence to codes, remind me of the news speak of 1984. This is Michael Snow speaking. I prefer to label it nice speak when parents are assured that their concerns and objections are valued by the management, while intrusive ads for valueless and harmful shows continue. I think of my own home, where, of course, there was no such thing as TV when I was growing up in the years that I can remember in the early 1930s. We had books, and we had books read to us. as we sat at the dining room table. Often we would be questioned about the books that we had read, and our parents would tell us about the books that they had read. And many's the quiet evening that our whole family sat in the living room, each of us with a book. Sometimes we would be interrupted, as our father would tell us that he wanted us to put our books down and listen to something that he wanted to read to us. He took seriously his responsibility to teach us as we lay down, as we sat in our house, as we walked by the way. He would take us out for bird walks every Saturday afternoon. Well, I shouldn't say bird walks every Saturday afternoon, but he did something with us every Saturday, and it was often a bird walk. And almost always he would talk to us just very simply about spiritual applications of some of the things that we were seeing. I thank God for that kind of father and mother. What kind of father and mother are you? How do you monitor the literature, the magazines, the newspapers, and the TV that comes into your home?
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.